Please.
Item 7, from the Director of County Economic Development, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report regarding the O'Donnell parking structure and the related land located at 929-931 East Michigan Avenue, Milwaukee, and the benefits of declaring the property surplus and negotiating with Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company for the purchase of such property. This item was also considered by the Committee on Economic and Community Development yesterday, and that committee took no action. This item is informational only.
Welcome. Mr. Smith, you have a presentation for us this morning. We have a number of cards of people who want to be heard on this particular issue, and we'll do that following the formal presentation. Ms. Botcher, if I recall that correctly?
You did indeed.
Very good. Please.
Yes, Chairman and Supervisors, T. Gwaley Smith, Director of Economic Development. We have for you today an overview of an opportunity for the county, which after our analysis we think is very beneficial for not only preserving the existing use of a parking garage and plaza, but also bringing financial resources to the county for a park stabilization fund to help either cover the capital costs or other costs that the board deems worthy. First, I would like to hand it over to Sandy Botcher from Northwestern Mutual Life to give an overview from her company's perspective of their vision for this project. And then I will briefly go over our analysis that was provided in the report.
Ms. Botcher?
Thank you. For those of you who haven't met me before, I'm Sandy Botcher. I'm the Vice President of Disability Income and the leader of our campus expansion project at Northwestern Mutual. Northwestern Mutual believes in Milwaukee, and all you have to do is take a walk down to our campus to see that. At the end of Wisconsin Avenue right now is the most glorious hole I have ever seen. Our east building has been deconstructed. We are digging out the foundation, and we are starting to make an even bigger hole from which our new towers and commons will spring later this fall. I never thought a hole could be so fascinating, but I will tell you, I think it's an amazing sign of the fact that Northwestern Mutual believes in Milwaukee. We believe in Milwaukee, and so we decided to reinvest $450 million to build that new campus. We believe in Milwaukee, and so we're able to keep 1,100 jobs here and have the room to grow 1,900 more over the next decade or so. We believe in Milwaukee, and so we are working to create opportunities for small businesses and Milwaukee residents as we construct our new campus. We believe in Milwaukee, so we're hoping to develop more long-term relationships with those businesses after our campus is up and running. We have called this place Milwaukee home for 155 years. It is our only home, our headquarters, our single place of operation. Our employees associate Northwestern Mutual with Milwaukee, and our financial representatives, who are sprinkled throughout the company, also look at it as part of Northwestern Mutual. They refer to it as their home office. 10,000 of our financial reps and their families descended on Milwaukee this weekend for their annual meeting. They ran through the lakefront on Sunday morning in our annual race. They went by the busfuls out to the county zoo Sunday. That drive a little longer because of the zoo interchange work, but it was a delightful evening nonetheless. Last night, 1,000 of us went down to the Third Ward and had dinner at the historic Pritzlaff Building, and tonight they will descend on the Bradley Center for a concert by the group Fun. They love coming to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee loves having them here, watching them walk through our streets with their ribbons flying. Any history of Northwestern Mutual certainly would include Milwaukee, and any history of Milwaukee would certainly include Northwestern Mutual. And it's because we believe in Milwaukee that we're here today to talk to you about our proposal for O'Donnell. And excuse me, I have to reach across and ask you to scroll through one more slide. Because we believe in Milwaukee, one of the designing principles that we have incorporated into our new campus is how we can better connect with the community that surrounds us. We are hoping to bring the community into our campus in ways that we haven't done in the past. We have been out and we have been active, but we have not invited that community in, and we believe that it's time to invite Milwaukee onto our property. We're going to start with revising the gardens. Our new building will sit differently on the property, creating a much larger green space that we wish to activate and make clear to the citizens of Milwaukee that they should come onto our property, walk through our paths, and sit down at our front doorstep, enjoy a lunch, or enjoy the beautiful view across the street. We're also going to invite them into our doors in ways that we've never done before. The whole first floor of our tower and a portion of our commons will be open to the public to come in without having to go through security. That is an entirely different way of doing business than we do today. There will be a cafe that they can come in and take advantage of, a place to sit and relax, to connect with Northwestern Mutual employees or on their own, an identity center where they will learn about Northwestern Mutual and I'm sure about Milwaukee, and an opportunity, if they so choose, to use our hallways as a walking path when it's cold out. We would love to take that sense of connection, of connecting to the community across the street to O'Donnell Square. O'Donnell Park. That property sits on the front doorstep of ours. We care what is across the street from Northwestern Mutual. When our 32-story tower is done, we'd like to look down on a well-maintained and enhanced, activated, vibrant green space. And we'd like to make sure that we can look across the street to that beautiful lakefront as well. We want that place to be used not just by our employees, but by the whole community, not as a place just to walk through to get to the art museum, but to stop and take advantage of what is a spectacular piece of property that we think could be utilized more. So we think our ideas for O'Donnell benefit not just Northwestern Mutual, but the entire community and the county as well. From the community's perspective, in the short term, we'd like to make several enhancements and repairs to the parking garage itself and to some of the places on the plaza up top. Those repairs, structural in nature and maintenance in nature, will come at the price tag of almost $7 million that we would like to start investing in year one of the property. Some have raised the question of, why purchase the property? Why not just lease it? We're one of the largest real estate investors in the country. We have a portfolio of over $35 billion that our real estate experts oversee. We've talked to them about the possibility of using a lease and whether we think it could accomplish not just Northwestern Mutual's goals, but what we hope to achieve for the entire community through our purchase of that property. We've given it a lot of thought, and we simply don't think that it will allow us to achieve our objectives. We think there needs to be clear and singular accountability for who needs to take care of the place, who has the rights and the authority to operate that place efficiently and effectively, day in and day out, making decisions on how to maintain it, repair it, and enhance it. And we simply don't believe that the lease agreements that we've heard some suggest would allow us to accomplish that. One of the questions we know has been out there is what will happen to the parking capacity. We've spent a lot of time talking with our neighbors along the lakefront to understand their needs and the needs of the visitors who take advantage of all of the attractions that lovely lakefront has to offer. Those conversations have helped to shape the proposal that we've put in front of you. Right now, we have a number of different places that we use to supply parking for our employees. Those pieces will continue to be part of Northwestern Mutual's long-term parking strategies. Factoring in all of those different sources, by the end of 2025, we anticipate that we will need roughly 700 of the over 1,300 spaces that are available in O'Donnell. We've committed to keeping the facility open to the public every day, nights and weekends, for the public to park. We've committed that during even the business day, there will be a certain number of spaces, a couple of hundred, that we will maintain for the benefit of the public to park at market rates. Moreover, we'd love that garage to be fully utilized. So if our employees aren't parking in a space, we would like the public to have the availability to use those. So looking at our parking numbers and understanding the needs of all of our neighbors, we think that what we're proposing here will be for the benefit of the entire community and will have ample parking to meet everybody's needs. Looking longer term, once we get done with the upkeep and maintenance that we think needs to take place to the tune of $7 million, we've started to give some thought to how we might enhance and activate that property. We want to take the concepts that we are applying in our own new green spaces and move them across the street to create a place where people want to gather and want to spend some time. Of course, we think it would be premature to start actually designing something since we don't own the space currently, but we have spent some time talking to the landscape architect that we've hired to work on our side of the street. What you see here are some of the pictures of public spaces that they've designed in several other cities. So you see, we're excited at the opportunities to do some new things across the street for the benefit of the entire community. We also think there are some benefits to the county itself. We think this is a great solution for the county that would remove some financial burden, preserve a public asset, and inject $5 million in resources to support the county's parks. It also puts the property back onto the tax rolls. There have been a lot of comments about whether the parking structure revenue provides significant financial benefit to the county. Our analysis, as well as that of the comptroller, would show that that's not the reality. I'm going to let Mr. Willie Smith walk you through the financials. He'll cover that in detail. But I think given the county's fiscal challenges and the tough choices that you have to make, we need to think creatively about how to meet the needs of the residents of this community. And Northwestern Mutual is stepping up to be a partner in a creative solution that should make an exciting idea come to life in Milwaukee. Of course, there are some benefits to Northwestern Mutual. As I said before, the property's right on our doorstep. We're making a major investment across the street, and we want to protect that investment. We want to maintain and activate the space that's across the street from us. And a vibrant open space is important not just to the community but to our employees. Is there a parking component? Of course there is. We need parking for the jobs that we're going to keep and the jobs that we're going to grow in Milwaukee. But we could probably find just parking somewhere else. We are doing this because we think it is good not just for Northwestern Mutual and our parking needs, but because we think it's good for the entire community as a whole. We know that there have been comments that Northwestern Mutual might be getting a better deal than it should because there was no official RFP process for this. The $14 million price tag that we are offering to pay was set by an independent appraiser hired by the county. That appraisal takes into account the restrictions that are currently on that property, use of it as a zoned as a park, takes into account all of the maintenance that needs to be done on the property, and it takes into account the fact that we would be inheriting some very long-term leases from tenants there. Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee County, and the appraiser all agree that this is a good price to be paying for this garage. It's the right price based on the way it's valued. Moreover, to remind you that we plan to invest several million dollars on year one into that property, so the price tag for us isn't really $14 million. It's closer to 20. The property is zoned as a park, can't be commercially developed. It needs several million dollars of maintenance, and so we're not surprised that no one else has come forward and asked to purchase this property, despite the fact that our intentions have been out in the public eye for quite some time. Lastly, as I've mentioned, we've spent a lot of time talking to our neighbors, to businesses in Milwaukee, to the trades organizations. We have a number of people who agree with us that this is a win, not just for Northwestern Mutual, but for the community and for the county. And I suspect some of their names are on those blue cards sitting up there next to you today. If you've got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, or we can wait until Mr. Willie Smith has an opportunity to present.
Questions by committee members for Ms. Butcher. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher, a pleasure to see you again. Thank you. I shadowed the Economic Development Committee yesterday, at least most of it. So it's very good to see this information presented once again. You noted earlier that Northwestern Mutual has significant real estate holdings. Is that correct, ma'am?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. And Mr. Chairman, a couple more questions for our good guest.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, roughly, do you know? I should address this to the chairman. Mr. Chairman, can we be told roughly how much real estate does Northwestern Mutual own in the area, say around their magnificent hole in the ground, which I'm very excited about because I love holes in the ground. But seriously, how much real estate does the company own in that area?
Sure. Immediately adjacent to our campus.
Within a quarter mile?
So there is our old historic south building, the beautiful one that's got the columns on it. We own a north building on the other side of Mason Street. We've got a parking garage on the other side of Mason Street. If you continue down Mason Street at the intersection of Mason and Van Buren, we own much of the block right there where the old American Heart Association building used to be. We raised that not long ago because it needed to come down. To the south side of the street, we recently completed renovations on a building on Van Buren where we moved a number of our employees while we've torn down the east building. We had to have some additional space. That building will stay a long-term part of our campus. And then if you continue down Van Buren at the intersection of Van Buren and Wisconsin, we own the building where our trust company, the wealth management company, is currently located. So in the immediate area, that's the extent of our footprint.
That was our minds had to wander the streets there to try and picture it all. So the company owns a fair bit there. Would you say that's correct, Mr. Chairman?
I'd say it's certainly adequate for our needs right now, yes.
Do you know, Mr. Chairman, how much of that's been acquired in recent years?
I apologize. I'm not in the real estate department, so I can't answer that question.
That's fine. Mr. Chairman, my last question, I'm curious, what are Northwestern's interests that would be hindered by a lease?
Well, we don't think that having to go back to a landlord to get permission and approvals, as we want to make day-to-day changes in how we operate the facility, how we want to upkeep it, how we want to enhance it, allows for the efficient and effective administration of a facility like that. This is a open space that sits on top of a garage. A garage needs a lot of upkeep and a lot of repair. And to be able to do that efficiently and effectively, we feel that a leasehold interest is in our best interest.
I'd interject that area on top of the structure is parkland. I mean, and defined as such. So vacant green space doesn't quite answer the definition, I think, that's required. Please, any further questions, Supervisor Hutz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I don't think I need to remind you, Mr. Chairman, that this board, out of all 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin, has been singled out for years as being accused of micromanagement and other such things, but is now in the state code that we cannot be involved with day-to-day operations of these things. Surely, I guess it might then be up to other county departments to manage to approve changes to these facilities, although I think a lease could be engineered in such a way that it would be such improvements would be, it's allowed. You can do it. I would hate to think that you'd have to come back to this body because, look at this. Right now we're about to go into the August recess, so unless we have to hold a special meeting, nothing would happen. So I see where you're coming from on that. But okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would only comment that coming back to the owners isn't coming back to the owners. It's coming back to the people of the county of Milwaukee to ask permission to modify something on what is their land. Further questions by committee? Supervisor Stascunas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question regarding the deed restriction. My understanding is a deed restriction that requires the property be used as a park. And the appraisal is based on usage as a park. And in fact, you seem to imply at least that has brought the price down or the value down because of that deed restriction. It's my understanding, though, that you're also pursuing, through the city of Milwaukee, a release and removal of that deed restriction. So, number one, if the deed restriction is removed, isn't the property worth more than $14 million since the restriction's gone? And number two, will there be something in your proposed sale or the purchase and sale agreement which will sort of promise to the people of Milwaukee that there will be, whether you want to call it open green space, which is what it is, or the technical definition of park, which Supervisor Broderick points out, but some sort of, when you outlined, it's very attractive, but is there something in the agreement that says that that will be there forevermore?
I'll let Teague start, and then I'll layer on.
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, if we could, we do have an overview of the entire transaction, including something called the operations contract that is in the agreement, and an overview of the deed restrictions. So would it be okay if we could go over that presentation? And I think that presentation will answer the deed restriction question, among many other questions in that regard. Quickly, to give you a precursor, in the Economic Development Committee, I used the analogy, which Supervisor, you'll be familiar with from law school, of a bundle of sticks when property is owned. When the city transferred to the county their bundle of sticks, the city maintained the right to do something on that property other than maintain it as a park. So all that was transferred over to the county was the ability to have it as a park. If we were to do something else with it, it would revert back to the city. So we don't, as the county, have the ability to sell that interest of getting the deed restriction removed and having the property developed. There was a very similar circumstance a couple of years ago where a property was sold by the county to Northwestern Mutual with the exact same deed restriction. And in that circumstance, it was the county's responsibility to remove the deed restriction, and it cost the county roughly 20% of the purchase price together with 10 acres of land to go over to the city. That's not the style of transaction that we have proposed here. Instead, it's a much simpler transaction, which is we're only selling our bundle of sticks to NM, and it would be their responsibility to remove one or both of the deed restrictions. There are two deed restrictions. One is the sale to a private party. The second is use as a park. So they would need to at least remove the first, if not the second, in order for the transaction to move forward.
So there were a couple of other questions, and while I'll let Teague show you the deed restriction that you're referring to, I'd also just like to remind you that the land is actually zoned for park use. So while we've had preliminary conversations with the city, very preliminary, about these restrictions, we have no agreement with the city, and we're not quite sure what we're going to do in terms of will it be modified, will it be lifted. There's been no no answer to that question. Regardless of what happens with the deed restriction, we are not seeking to change the zoning, so it is still going to be subject to zoning as a public park. And we think that that's the right use for the property right now. That's why we are investing $7 million to enhance the facilities, and we're thinking of investing more to enhance the green space that's up on top. You also asked the question of, would we consider voluntarily putting some restriction in the sales agreement and the document that's in front of you right now? We have not included that in there because we think that the zoning takes care of protecting the public and the community's interest in how that property is used long term. While we think the use of the property right now is fantastic and we intend to continue it, and that's why we're going to enhance it with all of these investments, we don't think we should foreclose the community's right sometime in the future to decide that there is a better and higher use for that property, and to allow that conversation to occur in a very public way through the zoning process. I think there's also some special provisions for the county in the city's zoning ordinances that would give the county, as an adjacent property owner, the right, if it didn't feel there was a good plan being proposed at some point out in the future, to demand a supermajority vote before the zoning could be changed. So I think there's adequate protections for the community through that zoning process, and we think that there's really good protections for the county to have its voice as well.
I think that Mr. Smith's suggestion that we proceed with the presentation is probably a good one at this point to lay a foundation. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. The primary benefit of this transaction is what has been outlined by Sandy, which is $7 million of improvements plus that they've talked about, together with getting us out of the liability of potentially building a new garage when this one is no longer around, or at least the deferred maintenance while we still own it. In that light, I will have some information that we've submitted. We, of course, submitted a 20-page report with 300 pages of exhibits, and I'm not going to go through every single page, but I do want to cover the highlights of that because I think it's relevant as you consider this opportunity. So the first item I want to quickly go over is the lakefront plan. Recall, this is a plan that was approved by the county board, signed off on by most, if not all, of the lakefront interests, and to some extent, the concept of what happens to O'Donnell. This is not the beginning of the conversation. It's the next step in the conversation. The first step in the conversation was the lakefront plan, and as you can see here in just an overview, you'll notice here that the lakefront plan contemplates some development in the future, at least on the southern edge of the site. And so when the committee discussed the O'Donnell parking garage specifically, the committee recommends that O'Donnell Park retain in its current function in the short term with openness for redevelopment if desired in connection with the transit center. Of course, at this point, we know that the transit center is being developed separately, but it would be very hard to RFP, keep something in its current function as a 20-year-old garage, and consider openness for redevelopment in the future. It's not something that we're going to be able to go out and get mass number of requests to compare. So when Northwestern Mutual approached us with this exact concept, keep it as parking and a public plaza on the top in the short term, and after its useful life, redevelopment will be considered at that point. And as Sandy mentioned, there is the zoning protection, which is in the agreement, which I'll show you in just a second. The other part of the lakefront plan talked about some current issues with O'Donnell that we as a county may not have the resources to accomplish. Specifically, maintenance and security of the parking structure for patrons are still potential issues, and feasibility studies should be developed to explore possible outsourcing of this function at a net profit to the county. So although not the exact transaction that was considered by the lakefront plan, I think this proposal is within the spirit of that plan, which is to keep it as parking at a public plaza on somebody else's dime while redevelopment is considered at some point in the future. The second relevant document, of course, is the purchase agreement itself. So this is just an informational file to get you full information, so you have exact copies of everything that's been negotiated with NM. We don't anticipate any changes before this in the September cycle when this is considered for action. So you have the information before you. It's a longer document. Essentially what would happen if approved by the county board, there would be a due diligence period of approximately 6 months for NM to finish their survey reviews to make sure it's a structure they still want to acquire, together with a resolution to the deed restriction issue with the city, because that needs to be resolved before transfer of the property. Implicit in this agreement and the resolution that would be presented is that if you agree to the sale, you also are supporting NM in getting the deed restriction lifted, at least to the extent to allow the property transfer to happen. To get directly to Supervisor Stascuna's questions about what is in the agreement regarding the maintenance of public access during the life of the garage, attached as Exhibit C to that purchase agreement is something called an operation contract. And in that contract, you'll see a couple things. The first is the commitment to Parks District zoning, that the property will be operated in maintenance with the current zoning, which is to accommodate a wide variety of public and quasi-public open spaces and facilities, providing recreation and cultural opportunities and supporting service for surrounding neighborhoods. It is on that note, it's important to note that as an adjoining property owner of 20% of the street frontage, because we own the portion of Lake Park across the street, this board, by resolution, would have the ability to demand a 3/4 vote of the City Council of Milwaukee in order to change the zoning. The second is the structure itself. They've committed to keeping it open to public parking on evenings and weekends, which is the primary public use of that garage. But in addition to that, 200 spaces during daytime hours as well. Also in the operations contract is a commitment to continue to allow the pedestrian bridge connections both to the east and to the south, and if those need to be replaced at any point, to allow us to attach those as well. The next set of documents that I want to cover is the appraisal. We covered the appraisal in detail during closed session during budget season last year, but I think it's important to refresh everyone of a couple things. One is this was an appraisal done on the net income approach. This also gets to Supervisor Stastunis' question. Because the property is currently zoned as parks and no commercial development could go there, that was a limitation of the appraisal. So in lieu of a comparable sales, there has not been a sale of a similar parking garage with similar land characteristics. Instead, the asset that was appraised was what we own as the county, which is the garage itself and the net income that is gained. It was determined to be a net income of about $14 million. At that point, the appraiser had not been provided any information about deferred maintenance. After interviewing several departments, it was determined that the existing repairs needed on the building are approximately $1.3 million, which is essentially a leaky roof situation. So you can see here the amended appraisal that is included in your packet is $14 million, less the $1.3 million of repairs, which is what is in the purchase agreement for them to purchase the garage. The next critical set of documents is the parking study. Recall that we had talked last year about a 2010 parking study that was done by the City of Milwaukee that showed a mass surplus of over 16,000 spaces in the City of Milwaukee, 2,000 of which were in what's called the Lakefront District, where this the O'Donnell Parking Garage is. But as I pointed out in that report, at the time that that report was done, there was no development anticipated in that district. There was no NM Tower plan. There was no 833 Michigan. There was no Couture Project plan. So the board decided to include in the budget the establishment of a task force by the comptroller's office to evaluate title issues, but also to order a new parking study. So that was done using the same consultant that produced the 2010 parking study to update the Lakefront District. And I understand that the Comptroller's Task Force, which I have been a part of, along with several people in this room, will be issuing their own report. So this is not the task force report. This is our report to give you an overview of the transaction. But the same parking study will be used in both. And the overview of the parking study, the big headline is, it's complicated. We don't have a clear, bright line decision for you to make. And it's complicated by the factor primarily of 794 construction. Recall that there again was about a 2,000 space surplus in the Lakefront District, but the I-794 construction that has happened has taken out our lake lot, which as you know provides financial resources for our department, so it's been a departmental hit. But more importantly, we don't know how many of those 1,600 spaces are gonna come back online. And we also don't know where those parkers are going to park. Current rates in that area of the city are about $70 an hour, whereas in the Lakefront District, it's going to be about $130 a month versus $70 a month. So are those poor parkers going to continue to find cheap parking on the periphery of downtown, or are they going to choose to monthly park in the most expensive district of the city? We don't know the answer to that, and so there are some assumptions that have to be plugged into the parking study. As you can predict, and I'll show you in the table in just a second, if you predict that those parkers will find other cheap parking or that those parking spaces come back after 794 construction, then we don't have a deficit of parking spaces. If you assume all of those parkers are located back into the Lakefront District, then you would have a shortage of parking, a deficit of parking of a couple thousand spaces. But in the nearby areas, you would still have a parking surplus. So the full parking study is provided in the packet that you received, but I just want to go over the summary and conclusions quickly, which are there appears to be adequate parking within District D, the Lakefront District, primarily in O'Donnell Park, to meet the needs of NM and the other development projects as presented herein. They talk about the assumptions that were made that I just talked about where those parkers are going to go, and conclude that we believe the sale of O'Donnell Park facility to NM is likely the best solution for the county, given the entire spectrum of opportunities. It seems counterproductive to sustainable practices for NM to build a 700 to 800 space parking structure when O'Donnell Park has 1,332 space structures that is nearly 50% available. There are very detailed tables in the parking study. I won't go over all of them here. This is the first one that you can see that the surplus or shortfall, there would still be a surplus of about 262 parkers if you assume those parkers park somewhere else in other cheap parking. Of course, that number would turn into a deficit if you assume that they all came into the Lakefront District. Next set of documents that's in the report is important because it's a difference between a $1.3 million and a $6 million repair, because you're hearing two different numbers. The best analogy to use is when you're selling your home and there's a leaky roof. You as the seller just want to patch the roof. The new buyer who has to live in that house going forward is going to want to replace the roof. And that's essentially the difference between our reports of $1.3 million, known as the Grafe Report, and the over $6 million, which is from Walker Engineering, hired by NM, which is $6 million to $7 million. So it's very important to note that there has been some comments in the paper about the ability of NM to pay more for the garage, and perhaps an insinuation that we as an administration have not negotiated as hard as we could on this transaction. Of course, we've been working on this for a year. The first proposal was to give them a credit, or the request was to give a credit for the full $6 million of repairs through negotiations and the willingness of a strong partner with NM. We're able to knock that down to a $1.3 million credit, which is our report's numbers. So just quickly here on the Grafe Report, which is included in your packet, you'll see a number of $1 million from our consultants, $1.1 million. Additional 20% for architectural engineering fees gets you to the $1.3 million. And I'll just quickly show you the bottom line for the Walker Report, which is the bottom number here of $6.6 million. And that's the $6 to $7 million that Sandy referred to of what NM is paying in addition to the purchase price. Title, and I think this will go directly to the question that was asked, and if you've gotten a short preview of this, this is an unofficial title map prepared by our office, not a surveyor, but it gives you a rough outline of how we acquired the parcel and what the restrictions are. So you'll see that the O'Donnell structure, you can see the outline of it there. That goes up to here. So what we all understand to be the O'Donnell parking structure was really acquired in three separate transactions. One with the state of Wisconsin for the southern half of the garage, which contains very few restrictions. The other is from the city of Milwaukee in two separate transactions. One transaction which included a much larger land mass, and then a narrower transaction for this area here. Both of those have deed restrictions on them. But before I go too far out here, this outlined area that you see here is the transaction that the county completed with NM, I believe, in 97, that had the exact same deed restrictions. And that, of course, is the area in front of where their new tower is, where the garden structure is now. So there is precedent for a very similar transaction. Title overview. So this was included in your packet. Good insomnia sleep aid if you ever want to go through it. However, I highlighted for you probably what you care about most, which are those two deed restrictions. It is expressly understood and agreed by the parties here too that this deed is given upon the condition that the lands herein conveyed shall always be used for and as a public park without expense to the city of Milwaukee, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a parks restriction that the county has. If that's going to change, it's going to require the city's approval, which is who granted us the land. Very similar deed restriction on another part of the parcel to be used exclusively as a public park, amusement and recreation grounds or parkway, and for such purposes as a municipal public park grounds, and also will never alien or convey said lands to private persons. So at the very least, that portion of the deed restriction would need to be removed to allow this transfer to happen. That would have to take place during the due diligence period that is allowed for in the purchase agreement. couple more points here. There was a, I believe, a 1988 resolution by the board that upon the sale of any park land, designated park land, there would have to be a review by sewer PAC, so that review was ordered through the appropriate channels. And you can see here the subject parcel does not contain primary or secondary environmental corridors or isolated natural resource area, floodlands, or any other natural resource feature. It does talk about the recreational uses that are on the site. So ultimately, Sewer PAC's recommendation is to, given the foregoing, the Commission staff would recommend that from both the environmental and recreational perspectives, any disposition of O'Donnell Park include a mechanism that under new ownership, the goals of the lakefront plan can be implemented, including maintain or enhance the existing Lake Michigan and Museum vistas from O'Donnell Park, maintain or enhance the existing parkland and related green space within O'Donnell until redevelopment occurs consistent with the lakefront plan, and honor the existing lease agreements with Betty Brin. So it's important to understand that Betty Brin has a long-term lease. There are other leases in the building. Similar to any real estate transaction, the new landlord, the purchaser, would be responsible for those honoring those leases going forward. And then we started this conversation about the extreme investment NM would be make, the $7 million. But I want to talk just briefly about how much we as the county are actually making off of this asset. So the numbers you have in here are going to be consistent with the task force that the comptroller has set up. So you can see through 2008 and 2009, it was a significant asset for the county. You had let's look at 2009. You had $2.1 million of revenue coming in. You had expenses of about $500,000. And you only had debt service of about $300,000, so it netted a total of $1.4 million for the county. Of course, we all know about the accident that happened at O'Donnell, and the parking garage was closed for a few years. Next full year of operation was 2012, and you can see the numbers there that after debt service, it generated about $1 million for the county. But what's important is looking going forward, because we now have to pay off the debt that was incurred to make those improvements. We also have to address the additional $1.3 million of repairs. So if you look at 25 and 2016 going forward, we would still plan to collect about $2 million of revenue. The expenses are expected to be about $700,000. You have the new debt service for the $1.3 million and old debt service for $832,000, which would be only a net benefit of $362,000 a year for the county going forward. So when you run that analysis over the long term, which the comptroller's office did, to say what is the present value of this asset. So the present value of this asset, if we were to sell it to NM, would be the sale price of $14 million, the offset for repair that's included in the purchase agreement for net income of $12.7 million, and the debt payoff would be $7.7 million for net funds of about $5 million. So if we sell it, we have $5 million in today's dollars. Projecting what happens over the next 40 years is a little more difficult because you have to adjust for today's dollars. So if you do that calculation, over the life of the garage, you will have collected in today's dollars about $49 million of revenue. That assumption expects that you fully lease out the garage at a market rate. You have the expenses of about $16 million. You have the old debt of $7 million. And then you have new debt of what happens after the useful life of this garage. The current estimate of 20 years from now in rebuilding that garage is $58 million. You bring that down to today's dollars, that's about $28 million. That's how you get to that number. So really, from a net present value equation perspective, the question is, from a financial perspective, would you rather have $5 million today or a negative $1.6 million liability? All that being said, it's important to understand that status quo, there's a different financial relationship that the county receives versus what the Parks Department receives. And so there would have to be an adjustment if you were going to continue to make the Parks Department whole. Because if you look at the example for the year of 2015, although it's only a net benefit of $362,000 to the county, what you have is that the Parks Department receives the $2 million of revenue less their expenses, so they receive $1.3 million. So they're not responsible for the debt service. The county is paying that separately. So really, the board could make the Parks Department whole if it decided to do so, that instead of paying off debt service, simply contribute that to the Parks Department through the county budgeting process. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that general status quo. Happy to answer any questions. We wanted to get this report into your hands as quickly as possible to have you have a chance of digesting it, and certainly are able to answer as many questions now as possible.
Questions by committee members. Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director T. Willie Smith, your figures are based upon the actual destruction and rebuilding of the parking structure. Now, would that be a necessity, or is that just an option that we're taking?
We've got it, Chair and Supervisor. You've got to do something with the garage after 20 years. You can't just let it sit there and deteriorate. It becomes a safety issue, particularly with this garage and the retaining wall of essentially what is, you know, where Wisconsin Avenue turns. My understanding, it used to be a slope. So if you don't have a building there, you've also got to figure out what you're going to do there as well. I would hate the county to get into a position like we have with other assets that we're not saving those funds to replace the building and instead using that as financial support for a particular department to fill an operational gap and then be stuck 20 years from now with a $58 million decision. Demolition cost, you know, maybe the demolition cost if you just demoed it, maybe that's a different number. So these projections include releasing the liability of a new garage. So it is important to understand those numbers, that it's a conservative approach in many respects to say, hey, you're going to have to replace the garage. We had a lot of conversations about this on the task force. It's also important to understand that this revenue number is also subject to debate. I mean, the revenue number assumes that you're going to hit, I think it's 1,100 parkers going forward at a rate, you know, that we're only charging $100 a rate. This assumes that you up the market and continue to maintain that level of parking. So I think when the task force issues its report, you'll see more of a deep background of those numbers. But when you dive into these numbers, it's important not to just understand the assumptions behind one number, but understand the assumptions behind all of them.
Would be just further clarification, if I could, on that point. Does the agreement contain any requirement? I guess what I'm trying to say is that the garage and its replacement would really, whatever happens in that area, would be at the total discretion of the owner at that time, correct? They could choose not to build a garage or, you know, I'm correct in assuming that?
Yes, with the additional layer of the public. With the zoning requirement, whatever would go on that structure after the useful life of the garage 20 years down the road, would have to have public involvement because of the zoning.
But doesn't that say that the $58 million you're projecting is sort of a phantom figure that may or may not be built into the cost of the revenues that would result?
Sure. What I'm saying is that we're releasing ourselves of the deferred maintenance and responsibility to either save for the new garage or what happens.
No, I heard that part. Yeah. I just the assertion that $58 million will be spent seems to be implied here, and figures based on it flow from that, and that seems to be a false premise, at least in terms of the options that would be available to the owner.
This analysis is assuming that we're not selling it, and so this is what the county is left with. So I think you're comparing apples to oranges. If we do sell it, it's this number of getting $5 million up front. If we don't sell it, we have our revenue and expenses, our existing debt, and then we have to figure out what's going to happen to the garage going forward.
But I guess the broader point is, if sold, we lose any control over what would be done there. It would be at the complete discretion of the new owner, right?
But for the public process of zoning.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. You have all right. Continuing questions?
Just to be more precise, would it be necessary? I mean, would it be absolutely necessary at some point in the future to actually demolish this structure and rebuild it? Is there figures that speak to repairs, or is this the only option we have as Milwaukee County to destroy this structure at some point in time and rebuild it?
So, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, the only information I can add to your analysis of that is that there is a report that's included in your packet as Exhibit E, which talks about the useful life of the garage. So we did have our engineers go through, and at the time the repairs were completed in roughly 2011, They projected that there was a useful life of about 25 years left on the garage. So after that 20 years, you've either got to decide that you're going to spend, you know, millions of dollars to repair it if you can, that you're going to spend millions of dollars to tear it down, or you're going to spend millions of dollars to rebuild. The analysis that we presented was to rebuild. But I would just caution you again, if part of your analysis is to look at the assumptions related to simply the build-out number and say, oh, okay, we're just going to, you know, pretend that we don't have to deal with this in 20 years from now and take off $28 million of that analysis, then you also have to look at the revenue and expenses, because that revenue and expenses assumes that a garage is there for 40 years. So if you don't rebuild it after 25 years, you're going to lose millions of dollars off of this revenue number, because this assumes that there is a garage through 2055, and we know that the garage is only going to be there through 2035. So you would have to take 20 years of revenue off of this number in order to do that analysis.
Okay. And my last question is, does the O'Donnell parking structure, does it fall within the public trust doctrine? Does it fall within those boundaries? And if so, how do you intend on addressing that?
So we do address that in the report. To summarize that, there is, you know, when we talk to some people, they talk about a corner, that they believe a corner of the public of the O'Donnell parking structure might be subject to the public trust. From our perspective, this was one of the very important reasons that the act of the legislature to define everything west of Lincoln Memorial Drive as not part of the lake bed public trust issue. Everything to the east of Lincoln Memorial Drive is subject to that. So can people continue to make claims and bring up maps? And certainly they are, you know, they are probably going to do that, and some sites they already have done that. So this one corner concept comes from maps that are included in the lakefront plan. But those maps are not surveyed lines, and at this point, we believe that the state legislative act clears all that going up forward. But again, that's part of the due diligence process over the next 6 months to make sure that all is in favor of transferring the property.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other questions by committee members? Supervisor Haas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was curious if Mr. Whaley Smith knows, if anybody here for that matter knows, when MacArthur Square Park was built, when was that, and what is its life expectancy? And I don't know this for sure, but I've heard the city would love to sell that to us for $1 and thus transfer all the maintenance on to us for that $1. And I don't see any resolutions before us to do that, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman and Supervisor, just quickly, I don't have the answers to all of that. I'll have to get that back to you. Just so everybody understands, the parking structure there is owned by the city. We own the underlying land underneath. There is a capital maintenance plan for all the city's parking structures that I can forward to show you what money needs to be invested into that structure to extend the useful life of that. It's also important to understand, it's a larger policy decision for this board to take on going forward about whether or not we're going to be in the parking business. We currently subsidize two garages, one being O'Donnell, one being the Marcus Center, and we can't offset any losses there with a parking fund, i.e. we don't collect revenue from parking tickets. So the city of Milwaukee has a much better set of tools to attack public parking because they have access to that parking fund.
Mr. Chairman, I don't entirely agree with that statement, with all my great respect for Mr. Whaley Smith, that we do have, our park rangers can give tickets in our parks, but I think I'm splitting the hair here, so let's move on. Yeah, it'd be curious to know, you know, when was MacArthur Square built in its current state? Of course, that was part of the 60s, Mr. Chairman, when it was, you know, the freeways got rammed through, and clearly no neighborhoods were at all affected by that. That's a lie. So I'm just curious, what is, yeah, we should decide eventually, perhaps not this board, are we going to stay in the parking business? The the Performing Arts Center parking garage is in dire need of some significant repairs. We've addressed that before, Mr. Chairman. Much to think about, so I'll say thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Staskunas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First question for Mr. Whaley-Smith. On the payoff of our loan is a total of $7.7 million, and about $7.1 of it is principal. And then there's another $600,000 that's called interest and expense. I get the interest part. I mean, we're going to pay interest until the day we pay the loan off. What's the rest of it, though?
My understanding, it's a number we got from the comptroller's office, and my understanding that part of that is the transaction cost as well. I don't know if there's anybody from the comptroller's office here that can give us a more detailed breakdown. If they can't, I will certainly get that information to you in the interim.
Yeah, transaction cost.
Mr. Mansky?
You have to pay it off early. You have to go to the bondholders. So there is a fee that you have to pay to, I don't think there is an early out fee that you have to pay to them, but mainly it's a fee to the brokers who take care of the transaction. That's just a rough estimate of the dollar amount that's based upon a certain percentage that is there, but it's the interest cost and the cost of paying to the brokers to take out the transaction from the people.
Who holds that note, or is it
various
a note?
People all across. You know, it's a $5,000 note, so individuals can hold it. Insurance companies, investors, anybody else can hold those notes as they were sold. So, and because of the fact that this is just portions of bond issues, so in essence what happens when you go, and since you're not taking out the entire note, you're taking out an amount, you're more or less making a selection of who gets chosen to take out that amount, and so that's the purpose of the broker, is to go and make the selection of those people who get taken out, to give them the transaction, to pay them out the dollar amount, and to, so those are fees that go to the brokers that take care of the transaction.
All right, so there isn't any one lender that we're dealing with here. It's
no.
A series of people holding bonds. And, well, I guess my only thought is, and it'll be more difficult, but again, if these are bondholders that Milwaukee County does business with on an ongoing basis, I would ask you and our department to negotiate with them on the payoff as we move forward, because, you know, again, if they are our partners moving forward, I would hope we would get a little consideration in terms of, I guess, what's not exactly a prepayment penalty, but some of these service fees and charges.
Right. Our goal is to get it at the lowest cost that it can be. I think the estimate, and we can get some more detail behind the dollar amount, too.
Okay. All right, thanks. And then I have a question for Mr. Dargo, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. All right, maybe two. I guess I want to get your perspective. You're the parks director, charged with maintaining this wonderful park system we have and keeping the quality high and maintaining the parks and keeping them in good shape and enhancing them as best you can. You support this? You think this is a good idea for the Milwaukee County park system and specifically for O'Donnell Park?
I have difficulty every time we have parkland for sale. However, I think this is a good offer and a good proposal from Northwestern Mutual that the policymakers will have to make and for us to sort of take action on that. I think that what they offered up as a way of public access and to continue the operations as they are with some improvements, I think is a good offer.
So in your capacity as the Parks Director, are you recommending to this committee, the Parks Committee, that we support this?
I'm not in a position at this point in time to say I recommend this strongly. You have an offer on the table to consider and a policy decision based on the parkland that you have for sale.
So you don't have a position on this?
Not at this point.
Okay.
I would characterize Mr. Dargle's position as between a rock and a hard place.
Thank you, Chairman.
Supervisor Rainey.
Just want to follow up on Staskunas' question for Director Dargle. Is there any point where you will have a position on this issue?
Oh, sure. I think so. I think it's a good offer at this point in time. What I have difficulty is the value of the sale. You know, the dollar figure has got me wishy-washy, but I think it is a good offer, and Northwestern Mutual is a good partner in this offer to the county.
You think the dollar amount could be a little bit more?
That's where I'm going to sort of say at this point in time, based on the information I have, I think, it's a policy decision.
Are you pleading the fifth, Director Darden?
Again, my concern is that, the parks stay whole and that there's a benefit from the proceeds, that goes to the parks, that would be sort of my position. Again, the monetary value is still up for discussion.
I can appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there further questions? Supervisor Haas.
Thank you. Once again, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. Mr. Dargle, you're free to leave the table, sir. But not the room.
The hot seat.
Yeah. Now, I was just curious. Now, so as we know, Mr. Chairman, the area around O'Donnell Park is undergoing a great transformation. And so I wonder then, so late next year, in November 2015, the 794 work is expected to be completed. So the new Hone Bridge will be done. We'll have probably great modifications to Clyburn Avenue, reconnection of parts of the Third Ward to the downtown, to the lakefront. There's going to be a lot of new land opened up from the reconstruction of the highway, the freeway through there. Things that were occupied when 794 was rammed through, and it's going to be a great improvement to the area. So, of course, this figure that was determined by the independent, I'm blanking on the term, not the auditor, but
the appraiser.
Thank you, Mr. Whaley-Smith. The appraiser looked at these things. It looked at the current situation, looked at the topography and the geography and the direction of the air and everything else in determining this recommended sale price. But it has been stated repeatedly, this also occurred when there were not these great proposals on the table. The reconstruction of the freeway, well, it was known, but it wasn't before as yet. There's not the magnificent hole in the ground for Northwestern Mutual at the time. So my point is, Mr. Chairman, in the near future even, especially in 2017, when the magnificent new Northwestern facility is completed, Mr. Chairman, wouldn't that alter the value of the land around O'Donnell Park, if not the proposed value of O'Donnell Park itself?
Who are you addressing that to? Supervisor.
Mr. Whaley-Smith.
Thank you, Chair and Supervisor. A lot of responses to that particular thing. So not only do you have the appraisal, but you also have the parking study that opined on the increase of demand and what it might do to pricing. So there's a table that I have up here on the table that's also part of your report to let you know what the assumptions were in the appraisal and what the actual amounts are. So from an appraisal perspective, they used a number of 625 monthly parkers plus hourly parking fees. That 625 is based on the historical average of the O'Donnell parking structure. During the construction of I-794, that number has jumped up dramatically, up to 823 monthly parkers. And again, I believe the projections that were prepared by the comptroller assume 1,100 monthly parkers. So you have, we don't know if we're going to be able to maintain 823 parkers, because once 794 is completed, there's more of those surface parking lots that go up. Are those people going to migrate back to the cheaper parking? But I just wanted to let you know when you're making when we're looking at values and assumptions. So the appraisal assumed 625 spaces, but it assumed a monthly fee of $135. And that gets you to total monthly revenue of $84,000, whereas the actual that we're currently receiving, even with this big bump up, is 823 spaces at $100 per month, which is only $82,000 of revenue. So the appraisal was actually more aggressive in that price impact that you're talking about. The question you asked is, should we assume that there is going to be an increase in the value of the O'Donnell parking garage based on the increased demand for parking? The appraiser already built in a 35% increase in their evaluation in determining the appraisal. Now, the parking study looked at that exact question, and the parking study determined that you could probably get up to about $120, maybe $130 on monthly parking, but that was already built in the appraisal. From the parking study's perspective, the only increase in parking based on their demand study, even under the aggressive assumptions, is an increase in hourly parking, which does not have a huge impact.
Mr. Chairman, I was actually talking about the value with these great improvements. So if you improve access, road access, improve the roads to a piece of real estate, does that usually improve the value of that real estate?
So that's the second half of the analysis, and I'll go back to the bundle of sticks. Currently, we do not own as a county the ability to sell this parcel and have it be developed. So we can't sell that. And so is there an increase in value if the property could be developed? Probably. But because we don't own the right to sell that, it's not included in the appraisal.
I see. Well, I don't remember the bundle of sticks from when my wife was in law school, but
I'm sure she will.
I'll be sure to ask her. I'd love to hear her go on about that, too.
We're all going
to have to inflict a promissory Gestapo on her. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Borkowski.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. And I wasn't going to comment, but I think that, you know, what needs, well, I feel the need to say it, is that NML is making a business decision. And, you know, with every business decision, there's risk. Nobody's talking about, you know, what happens if this fails. We're all assuming, and I, you know, listen, they've got an outstanding track record. Okay. But you know what? Everything comes with risk. And we're here, you know, trying to squeeze every little nickel that we can or whatever, and we're trying to look ahead 20, 25, 30 years about the value of certain things. You could say the same thing about when the new arena is built and where it's going to be built, because all of that land is going to be more valuable or supposedly more valuable. But I think we have to deal with the here and now. Okay, and this is what we're dealing with today. This is what we're going to deal with in September. Okay, and I think that, you know, first of all, and I know we have a lot of people here that are not supportive, but you know what? It needs to be said. NML has been an outstanding corporate citizen in this community for forever. You cannot say that. You cannot say that about virtually anybody else. Everybody else has fled this community. First Wisconsin, all of these other people, they're all gone, okay? And yet we don't give them any credit? My goodness gracious. I just want them to know that I'm tickled to death they're still here and that they're looking to expand, because God love them, we could use about 10 more of them.
Does that conclude your
that comes, yeah.
Okay. Well and good. I have a couple of quick questions. One is to put to rest a rumor. And I would ask it this way, I guess, is in terms of the proposed sale, is there any land along Lincoln Memorial Drive north of the footprint of the parking garage that is part of this deal? Along Lincoln Memorial Drive, north of the terminus wall of the parking structure?
I'll pull up the actual map here of what is being proposed to be sold so everybody understands it. This is the legal description that's referred to in the survey. So you will see the thin black line going around the whole area here that is the proposal of the sale.
Can you go to the parking structure's north wall? Black line describes the north wall?
I believe that this is, I'd have to go back and look at the site. This is the actual facade of the building, mm-hmm. And this is the property line, and then here's the sidewalk, and then here's Lincoln Memorial Drive.
Mm-hmm. And so there is nothing to the north that is part of this deal. That's all I'm trying to establish, because I've heard that rumor and I just want to put it to rest. Secondly, we continue to see the developable site to the south end of this property with high rises on it and whatever, you know, the imaginings of architects perhaps or planners. But if we sell this, is then Northwestern in a position to turn around and sell at some pretty good price, I would imagine, that plot of land for development purposes?
I'm sorry, are you talking about the southern half of the garage parcel?
Yeah, I'm talking about the southern end of the purchase agreement.
So I'll hand it over to Sandy so that you can understand NM's intent. Just so people understand, is we've had engineers look at the garage itself, and physically the garage would be cost prohibitive to split. So to keep the northern parts of the garage and develop the southern property is probably an impossibility. Of course, people can do
great. Let me try to ask it in a simpler way. Is the purchase confined to the footprint of the garage, period?
The best way that I can describe this is, again, to go to the survey, and we can talk about the southern boundary. So you have the parking garage, and you see the southern line is right here, and then you immediately run into the sidewalk as well. We want to be as clear as possible at this, and, you know, based on verbal descriptions without being out there, I'd be happy to sort of walk the property line with any supervisor that would like to go through it, but this map shows exactly where that boundary is.
Well, okay. The part of the agreement is nothing other than what's shown here, obviously, but the parking garage itself, the southernmost wall of the parking garage, is that black line, is that describing it?
You're talking about
right
here.
Right, that's correct.
No, it's up here.
Okay, now we're focused. The land to the south of the parking garage and to the terminus of the proposed sale agreement is a pretty good stretch of money. Is that developable? And if so, if we sell this, is Northwestern able to turn around and sell that to another party for development?
That is subject to Parks zoning, so that could never be developed unless the zoning
That's
is changed.
That's not what I asked. I asked if the waivers are had for the deed restrictions, and if that piece of land is part of this agreement, and the deed restrictions are lifted by the city of Milwaukee, then is Northwestern in a position to sell that to another buyer for purposes of development? It's a simple question.
No. And the reason is that any development, they would be in a position to sell it, but no one would be in a position to develop it without a change in zoning, because it's all
I already lot. Assumed a change in zoning. So they would be able to sell it to for development purposes, would they choose, after we complete the deal and after the deed restrictions are lifted?
Well, so I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. There's two layers of protection. One is the deed restrictions. One is the zoning. The premise of your question was, if the deed restrictions were lifted, could that property be developed? And the answer is no, because you still have the layer of protection of zoning and the three-fourths majority. So I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
I understand that, okay. but what I had asked is, absent the zoning restrictions, would they be able to sell the land?
Right. Absent the deed restrictions and the zoning restrictions, they would be, yes.
They would be. So they could turn around and sell that for $20 million, $100 million to whoever they would choose to sell it to, right?
I think it's a bizarre analogy because, again, we don't own the ability to sell it. But I think it's very important to hear what NM's actual intent is.
I think it raises an important question that the public should be, in fact, looking at as part of this, the entirety of this deal. Ms. Boucher?
I agree with what Mr. Willie Smith said. I just want to reiterate, our intent is to keep that property the way it is, invest in the garage, enhance the garage, enhance the green space, assume all of the leases of the buildings that currently sit on that property, Betty Brin and the Zillies organization.
Is that intent expressed in the purchase agreement?
And to keep the spaces open for the public.
But I don't see that intent expressed in the purchase agreement in hard language that would be enforceable. That's part of my problem. Which leads me to the next question I have. Is Corp Counsel present in the room?
Mr. Chair, I just want to say it is in the agreement. It's in the operations contract. And I'd happy to go over that again.
Yeah, I've looked at the, in fact, I have a question about the operations contract, and I'd like to ask our Corp Counsel if Corp Counsel would come forward. Mr. Grady, On the agreement of operating conditions, item number 3 on this list reads as follows. Owner and county assume the structure has remaining useful life of 20 years. From that date hereof until the first to occur 12/31/33, then the word or, the date that the owner makes a good faith determination that the useful life of the structure has ended. I find that language disturbing. Could you interpret it for me? First of all, what is a good faith effort on the part of the owner, assuming it's Northwestern Mutual? And secondly, what does that mean in terms of the latitude that they have at any time to be able to declare the useful life of this building over?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. I did not negotiate this agreement, but I would tell you that the idea here is it's preserving the structure until 12/31/33, or if they decide that basically the place has fallen down, make a good faith decision that it's falling down and it's done on 12/31/32, for example, they can make that determination. So they could make it sooner than that, but it's subject to...
Could they make it right after the ink is dry if they chose to and would take on that burden of public opinion?
Well, if we assume it was a good faith determination, they could make that determination. But then the question is...
Definition of good faith.
Well, ultimately, it's whatever a jury says, I suppose, or a court says. But if they made that decision the day after the ink dried, presumably the county would sue them for a breach of the contract, and then we would see what the court said about whether that was good faith or not.
We'd be suing the owner of private property that we just sold all the rights to?
For breach of contract, yes.
For breach of contract. Well, unless that contract language is... Could the contract language here be much more specific if you were structuring this on behalf of the county? Would this be much more specific in that regard to preclude that possibility that... The buyer could at any time decide that this useful the life of the building is over, and now we're going to go ahead and do whatever the hell we want.
This is a fairly standard concept. The only question really is how the decision gets made. So, for example, they make the decision that earlier than 2033, the building has no useful life left. The question, this contract, I'm assuming, leaves it to a lawsuit to question that decision. You could set it up as an arbitration process. You could set up some other dispute resolution process.
Or you could build in language now that would preclude that possibility if you were representing the county.
Well, you could say that they shall keep it in use till 12/31/33, regardless of whether it's beyond its useful life or not.
Well, that's what our deed restriction said about will forever be parkland. It seems to me everything seems to be negotiable after some period of time passes. It's the period of time that concerns me here, because this question then goes immediately to that of value. The appraised value is $14 million. Were we to RFP this and put it on the market for developable land as a enterprise to a for profit, I don't know what the price of the land would be, what kind of offers we'd get, but I think it would be well in excess, maybe 10 times, 12 times, 15 times, in excess of the $14 million or $12.7 million that we're really talking about right here. The idea that this is related means that they could purchase it for 14. Theoretically, I'm not saying Northwestern would ever do this, but I'm talking about the business agreement the county is supposed to be entering into here. They buy it for 14, and they say, well, useful life is over. We've got control. We're going to sell that portion over there for $25 million or $100 million, that part that we just found out was developable. And then we're going to take the rest of it down and do as we see fit, maybe build a high-rise there. Another building, well, we'd never want to block our view, we were told. Well, my response to the folks from Northwestern was, well, then help us ensure the fact that you never block your view by building into this contract language that would absolutely permit it and would provide in perpetuity the use of this land from 1868 on that has been parkland owned by the people of this county. So the value of $14 million seems to me, and it goes to what Director Dargle, I think, was hinting at there, although he's rather constrained in what he's able to say, I think, is a great underestimate of the true value of this thing were we to put it on the market. Now, I don't mean to be lecturing all these people who have so much more knowledge of these things than I. I'm not an attorney. But as I read this, I think, we're going to what?
I'm sorry, I do go on. I wasn't sure if you're looking for a response or not, but what I would say is to go back to the point Mr. Whaley Smith made and expand on his bundle of sticks analogy. But I mean, I think the way, maybe a more concrete way to think about it is a different analogy, is to say we own, let's assume, for example, we own the land, but the city owns the mineral rights and the city owns the air rights. So we just have the land, but they have all the rights above and below the land. We can't sell the mineral rights. We can't sell the air rights. Only the city has that piece of property. They can sell it. They can give it away. They can do whatever they want with it. We can't. And so we can't sell the right to develop this land because we don't own it, just like we, in my analogy, wouldn't own the mineral rights. The city could sell to NML. They could say, we're going to change the zoning to be commercial district, put a high-rise up, and then they can effectively sell that. They can get something in return. They can't probably deed it, but they can ask NML, give us a donation to this, give us some whatever in order to get the zoning change. So they can sell the zoning change in some other fashion. And so the city owns that piece, not the county. And so that's why the appraisal doesn't look at your question. And I understand the point that this land, if there were no restrictions on it, is worth more than $14 million. No question about that. But the county doesn't have the ability to sell the land without the restrictions.
But we're talking about if the restrictions are lifted. And I don't know what kind of deal may have been cut, but what we're being asked to do is turn over our responsibility as stewards, violate agreements that have been made in the past, of which we are current representatives of a long train of preservation, and you know, turn it over to another municipal government to make the decisions for us. That's not why I was elected. It's why none of us were elected.
Well, and I understand that. And you have to remember, though, this is still the city's decision to make on whether this should remain parkland, because it was the city who gave it to us with that condition. And so it has always been the city's right, and it still is the city's right. I'm not trying to tell you shouldn't think about those issues. I'm not saying that at all. But legally speaking, it is the city's right. And so, you know, what I hear you saying, I guess, Mr. Chairman, is we think there should be more money paid for the chance that the city will change the zoning and give you more development. That's a negotiation process, you know, I suppose, but NML has come to the county, made the offer that it's made, and basically that's what you're being asked to accept. You know, again, I go back to the city put the deed restriction in the conveyance to the county, so the city still governs that restriction on this park and all the other parks that they gave us back in 1937. This park is no different than the rest of them. If we decided to sell another park that the city deeded to us back in 1937 somewhere else in the county, we couldn't sell that as developable land. Only the city can do that.
Well, this, and I'll conclude here. This in the much broader context. I listened in on yesterday's economic development meeting, and it was clear that a number of people who favored the sale favored it because the county simply doesn't have the resources to carry through what's necessary in terms of treating the $276 million deferred maintenance budget that the public policy forum determined that the parks were in the hole for. We're now being offered $5 million, which is a pretty minuscule portion of that $276, and I would argue it's $300 or beyond. And I take all of this into a view that says the public already spoke at the ballot box to provide the resources that would have given the parks the ability to take care of these problems, and that was not enacted by the state, and that was thwarted by the proponents who now want to use the same money to build a basketball arena. I mean, when you look at this in its entirety, at the components and how they're working together to take from the county the assets that have been held in trust for the people of this community and parcel them off, it's, to my mind, a violation of our responsibility as elected officials to take part in that. I'll leave it there. We have a number of people who want to be heard from, I think, who are going, some who will not share that point of view and others who will. And perhaps, in the interest of time, we'll get on to that portion of it if that's agreeable with the committee. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've held my questions till now because, or comments till now, because I really wanted to kind of take in what everybody said. What I've really absorbed and heard so far is that the socialist contingent in the room today wants to have its cake and eat it too. I'm hearing one argument that says we need much more money if we're going to sell this land, and we need to understand how rights are going to be lifted and zoning is going to be changed because it seems inevitable, according to them, that Northwestern Mutual is seeking to make some enormous profit over this. So we must therefore find a way to get a higher price and benefit from it if we move forward. And on the other hand, I'm hearing that the documents need to be changed in the agreement in order to preserve everything as parkland in perpetuity. The facts are, as far as the presentation and the proposal agreements that we've seen so far, the land would remain publicly accessible parkland as it stands. I'm willing to bet that Northwestern Mutual can make it more beautiful, more functional, and to do that more efficiently than we'll ever have the resources to do. The comment was made that we shouldn't be turning over our responsibility as stewards. I would say that if we move forward with this sale and do it wisely with our eyes open, knowing the facts and understanding them, we're not turning over our responsibility as stewards. We're executing it smartly. The $5 million, or whatever amount that we're able to negotiate as a net end coming to the county out of this agreement, would give the county an opportunity to make progress on addressing our parks' needs. I understand it's not the many millions of dollars that we need. It's not meant to be an answer to all of our problems. And when you negotiate a deal like this, it's really not met. It's not based on the need of the receiving party. It's based on what can both parties come to as a determination that's fair. This agreement proposed to us today seems to be at least on the right track and the right path with the expert testimony we've been given, the appraisal reports. I don't know how they could have been any more transparent with all the information we've been given and everything that they've promised to gather for us going forward. I question bringing the referendum issue into play, because while I do support dedicated funding for parks to really take care of the assets that we are to be good stewards of, I think that we also have to give some credit to the taxpayers and the voters of the city of Milwaukee to continue electing a common council that represents them and their interests. And this board retains the power, if this deal goes forward, to force that common council to meet a supermajority three-quarters vote if they ever do want to change the zoning. If that were ever to happen, that three-quarters of the city of Milwaukee common council said, yes, let's change the zoning and lift the restrictions so that this will no longer be parkland, then wouldn't that be a democratic voice of the people of the city of Milwaukee and their chosen elected representatives executing a right that the city of Milwaukee retains? So I guess I want to pose a question out there, because I'm assuming there's a lot of people in the room today, by the sighs and groans that I've heard so far, that are preparing to come testify that they're against this sale. I've received a few emails and a few phone calls from constituents and otherwise asking to oppose this deal. And I'm listening to all of this comment thoroughly. But I would ask anyone testifying to please consider adding to your testimony today, if you're opposed to this deal, not only what's your reason for the opposition, but under what circumstances would you support it? Would you support it under maybe a trade where we get more parkland at another place on the lakefront that's equal in acreage to the parkland that we would sell? Would you support a lease? Would you support modifying the contract for a perpetuity agreement to retain just this as parkland forever? What is your point of consideration for a deal that could benefit the county and its people greatly to move forward? If you support the position of the county should never sell parkland, and that is simply your principle, I respect that. But if that's the answer, what's the right amount of parkland for the county to hold? And is there ever a point where it's a good decision to sell parkland, or should we be buying more parkland for that matter? I know there's going to be a great diversity of opinions here today, but I really want to understand the underlying principles and what the negotiating point is that the public does support, even if that's from the position of the socialist contingent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We'll work through the cards, pro and con, for and against. And we have one neutral party, believe it or not. If we could hear from Greg Ewan, representing Epstein Ewan Architects.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning to everyone. Thanks for having me. My name is Greg Ewan. I'm CEO of Epstein Ewan Architects. I have a business in the Third Ward here in Milwaukee County. I also live in Milwaukee County at 2775 West Bradley Road. I have been involved in the Lakefront Master Plan since its inception. In fact, I was in front of this board and with Mike Cudahy. I want to say that was in February of, I think, 2010, if I'm remembering correctly. Ironically, it all started with the O'Donnell parking structure and his interest in seeing a vision happen with our lakefront and with the parking structure, you know, beyond what was happening today. And since that point, I also authored some of the drawings that you see here today, including some of the controversial ones showing buildings on the site. I've also served as a consultant to the city and the DOT on the Gateway project, which is really the true design work and construction documents of what's really going to be built. I see the lakefront plan originally started as a vision, as an idea, with a lot of folks and a lot of volunteers. But that plan is, quite honestly, a bit dusty and old. And I can speak to possibly one of the concerns, which is a building that was shown on the south end of that site. You'll notice if you review the Gateway drawings, there is no such building in that location. It's really been deemed not of the interest, both in the public's eye as well as in the interest of the team that's been working on this to actually construct that building at this time or in the future. So I'm here to say, I should have said this at the start, I'm here in support of this transaction, this partnership with North Western Mutual, and I have a number of reasons. Those reasons are really all relative to my work on the Gateway project. And so I'd like to just go through those if you wouldn't mind. So for starters, I don't think I have to tell this group or the audience that the O'Donnell parking structure is a key component to the lakefront plan and to making those connections from our city to the lakefront, both visually and physically. This space has been underutilized and serves as a parking structure, of course, which certainly serves the public good. And it also is a green space. We believe it could be a much better, more vibrant green space. I've spent the last 5 years studying this area, and you know, the bottom line for me, I guess my punchline, if you will, would be to say yes to Northwestern Mutual, in my mind, really takes an action step moving this forward and says we can actually begin to work now with the stakeholders in the private sector to make something happen here. To really say no thank you to Northwestern Mutual, in my mind, really sets this up as something for the next generation to handle. And the reason why I say that is the work that we've been doing on the Gateway Plan, we've been really working around the O'Donnell structure. It's really a difficult problem property. And I would tell you, I've seen the Walker Report, I've seen the Grafe Report, And in my humble opinion, I think there's some underestimating going on with regard to the cost of the structure. In particular, the plaza area, which really houses the green spaces. These spaces, through our freeze-thaw cycle here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, they are brutal spaces to maintain. And I would not see that there would be anything near 20 years left in that. I know the report showed a number of $4.5 million, maybe $5 million for that plaza. But I'd urge you to think about that as really just maintaining the status quo and putting back what's there today. The Gateway plan and the vision for the lakefront really sees something much more than that. So I think that's just the starting number. I think that number is only going to go up and possibly by multiple factors, if done correctly. So I know there's a lot of people that want to talk, but I would just urge you to continue your talks with Northwestern Mutual in this partnership. There's a tremendous opportunity, but also tremendous responsibility with whoever owns this property, whether it may be maintained by the county, the city, or if we allow the private sector to become part of it. And that responsibility, beyond the cost, which I think I've already stated, the public interest and making sure that this maintains itself as a vibrant green space. We've seen Northwestern Mutual's plans. I'm not part of their tower project. I wish I was, but I'm not. but the vision that I see as an architect and a planner for their project and their development, and the vision for the Gateway that your group has endorsed and continues to endorse, are completely 100% aligned. I don't get it personally. I see an alignment. In fact, I would say that they're in lockstep with each other. How we resolve the details, as Supervisor Alexander has put out, I would agree 100% with her view on this, that we just need to work through the details, but do not say no to this corporate neighbor of ours. They've been a major proponent of the lakefront plan, and as was stated earlier, I personally don't see how it will get done. And you mentioned before, consider the alternatives. If the answer is going to be no thank you to Northwestern Mutual, what is the alternative? How is it going to happen? There's a reason why we're not working on that structure right now, because no one has an answer for it. Northwestern Mutual is the answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Russ Konetzker?
I defer to Charles Camps ahead of me.
Mr. Camps, I think I have a card for you here. Mr. Konetzker, do you still want to be heard later?
Yes, I think so.
What's the bad cleanup? I have some pictures here of what used to be the Charlie Camps representing Preserve Our Parks. The picture is from the 1890s. We have a Sanborn fire insurance map which delineates every building in that area of downtown, dated 1894, and it shows that boathouse right there in the water. The railroad had already started filling out past its train shed and then continued to fill out up to what is now Lincoln Memorial Drive. The train station is where the Coast Restaurant used to be. And then attached to that is the referendum approved by the voters in 1936. I want to focus on one thing. That is the, I can't answer all your questions, Supervisor Alexander. I'm sorry. The operating agreement does not contain a promise by Northwestern Mutual to always operate O'Donnell Park as a park. It contains a promise by Northwestern Mutual to comply with the zoning. And we heard that Ms. Botcher this morning state that maybe in 20 years the community would have a different idea. But if you go through with this deal in 20 years, you will not have a voice in deciding what is done. The zoning is transitory. The present zoning is for parks. There's no assurance that that is going to continue. It can be changed by the city, and the city would have every incentive to do that because the assessed valuation of the property would skyrocket once the zoning was changed. I don't like to use this phrase, but I think it's a matter of control. The county represents the city of Milwaukee, and I haven't counted them up, but many, many, many suburbs. You represent all the citizens of the county. The city only represents the residents of Milwaukee, the voters in Milwaukee. So someone from Cudahy or West Allis, Whitefish Bay, Glendale, Greendale, is not going to have a voice before the city when and if that zoning change comes up. This would be a completely different deal if we had some agreement from the city that they'd never change the zoning. But we don't have that. There are a lot of things that can change. There was the referendum approving the sales tax to support parks and transit, emergency medical. Something like that could come again. We had in town a few days ago representatives from Oklahoma City, City of Denver, where they have sales taxes to support parks and cultural institutions. We could have that here. But I think most of us wish we did have something like that. Certainly the voters wished they did when they approved the referendum. So these things can happen. But in the meantime, I think you, as, and you use the phrase, Mr. Chairman, as steward of this thing, I think you have the obligation to not cede control to the city. Because you represent the entire county. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank Nicotera, and please tell me if I mispronounced your name.
So that was refreshing to hear. Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Supervisors, my name is Frank Nicotera. I'm the Chief Administrative Officer and General Counsel for Milwaukee World Festival, Inc. We own and operate Summerfest, and we lease and manage Henry Meyer Festival Park. I'm here today on behalf of Milwaukee World Festival to support the proposed sale to Northwestern Mutual. As a point of fact, last year, over 1,400,000 persons attended events at Henry Meyer Festival Park, and they utilized the O'Donnell parking garage structure. We believe that Northwestern Mutual has the wherewithal not only to maintain that structure but to modernize it and to keep it usable for a long period of time. And that structure is important for all of the events, the ethnic festivals and some of the one-off events that occur at Henry Meyer Festival Park. And the park itself generates on an annual basis over $140 million in economic benefits to the Milwaukee area. So parking is essential. Not everyone can ride the buses because we pretty much utilize every bus that Milwaukee County Transit has available during Summerfest. More people ride bikes, but we also need parking for bikes, so we're taking steps to address that. A number of parties have mentioned this, and the supervisors have mentioned this too. Northwestern Mutual has a demonstrated track record of being a responsible corporate citizen, and on many different levels. So is that enough to trust them in what they do? I think their record speaks for itself. We trust them. They're a good partner for us. We think they'll do a great job in managing this asset, and we ask you to consider approval of the proposed transaction. Thank you.
Thank you. Kay Kern. Registered against?
Mr. Chairman, Chairman, Supervisors, my name is Kay Kern. I didn't put it on my card, but I am on the Board of Directors of Preserve Our Parks, and I'm here to oppose the proposal as a matter of public policy and the risk of unintended consequences. Northwestern Mutual is undoubtedly a wonderful corporate citizen. They have done wonderful things for this community, but giving them a carte blanche to that prime piece of property, parkland, opens the door for developers in the future to come to you and ask that parts of Lake Park be sold for private development, parts of my local park, Hoyt, parts of Humboldt Park. I think it sets a dangerous precedent and puts us on a slippery slope. I don't know, Supervisor Alexander, what the proper amount of park space is. I know that the parks are a valuable and important part of our quality of life and the wonders of living in this area. So there may be a way to solve it if Northwestern Mutual is willing to put in writing that they will abide by the zoning as it exists now. That's not for me to decide, but I think that selling parkland is a slippery slope. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kern. Ken Cry, representing the Milwaukee Art Museum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Supervisors. I'm here today on behalf of the Milwaukee Art Museum in support for the proposal by Northwestern Mutual. I think you'll all recall going back into last year, there were many questions as a result of the negotiations between the county and the War Memorial and the Art Museum about parking availability, which subsequently led to conversations about O'Donnell, how it might be utilized in the grand scheme along the lakefront. As those discussions continued, the Art Museum representatives, myself included, and representatives from Northwestern Mutual held a number of meetings to talk through those key issues about O'Donnell Garage, to talk about parking needs not only of the Art Museum but other institutions that are located on the lakefront. And as a result of those conversations, I believe we have come to the conclusion that Northwestern Mutual has invested already a good bit of time and effort into the evaluation of O'Donnell Garage, not only the needs structurally as a parking component, but also the needs for the community as a park, also how that space is utilized not only in the short run, but in the long term as well. And they have convinced us with their studies, with the analysis work that they've done, that they believe that this can continue to be a viable asset for the community. It can be maintained in terms of green space, in terms of parking. We believe it can be maintained as a very valuable asset of the community. So we are in support of that, and we are confident, given their commitment for public parking, for the needs not only of the museum, but as the Summerfest representative noted, it's an important structure for our festivals, for the things that go on along the lakefront, and the museum would stand in favor of the proposed transaction with Northwestern Mutual.
Thank you, Mr. Cray.
Thank you.
Jim Gooley, representing Preserve Our Parks, the Park People.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, the point was made earlier, but I want to pound it home again. O'Donnell is a park. If the sale goes through, will other parks follow? It basically sets a precedent, as was mentioned. Yes, and I agree that it's a slippery slope. But say somebody comes to the county board at some point in the future, a good corporate citizen, and they want to buy Noyes Park. Being that they're great corporate citizens and it's going to be a benefit to the county because there's going to be millions of dollars coming in, you'll be confronted with the same decision. You can nip this in the bud by saying no to this. Because ultimately, I don't believe we have enough parks. We are lacking parks in the central city. We need more parks in areas that are walking distance to our disadvantaged neighbors. So I disagree that that we have too many parks, that we should start selling them off because we can't afford them. My sincere belief is we need more. This is a park entity, and it provides precious revenue for our parks. I guess it was pointed out earlier, $1.3 million in net revenue. It was also pointed out that our parks are not charged with paying off the debt that was incurred as a result of the tragic accident a few years back. So the Parks Department gets the full benefit of $1.2 million or $1.3 million of net revenue. I used to be a park manager. I can tell you for a fact, your average seasonal employee costs about $5,000 a year. You can hire 240 seasonal employees with $1.2, $1.3 million. You sell this, potentially the result is going to be that parks are going to suffer because that is not going to be that revenue is no longer included in their budget. The easiest thing for them to do, their most expensive entity, is staff. They're going to cut staff. That's a given. Our county executive proposed to backfill the loss of revenue with tax levy. If this goes forward, it means the citizens of Milwaukee County will ultimately subsidize the sale going forward for how many years to NML. That seems to be really poor public policy. And I would scream, knowing my taxes would go up, just so we could sell a piece of land, a park. Going forward, the revenue potential for O'Donnell Park is going to grow. Right now, there's two towers going up, Ergens and NML. And there's a third proposed, and that is the Couture. This is going to exponentially increase the demand for parking in this neighborhood, in this area. And as the demand goes up, the price of parking goes up as well. Why not keep O'Donnell Park and let our Parks Department benefit from that increased demand and ultimately increased revenue? Our parks have very few revenue sources. You've got golf, you've got the marina, you've got O'Donnell. Those are the big three. We can't afford to lose that. One of your big bugaboos, and this is your own policy, is that you're going to have to declare this surplus. Mr. Whaley Smith provided some fodder looking down the road, looked at today's dollars and says it's a poor bet for us as citizens of Milwaukee County because we're going to lose $1.6 million on this. But that, again, is taking a huge leap that we at some point in time, 20 years down the road, that a county board, if O'Donnell's still owned publicly, would make the decision to spend $58 million then to rebuild it. That's a huge leap. That's not reality today. Let's let those people 20 years from now make that decision. Beyond the $1.3 million in the purchase agreement that NML is dedicated to spending, I don't see any mention in the purchase agreement for the $7 million that's been talked about today. There's nothing in the purchase agreement for that. Those are just some of my thoughts at this point in time. I'm sure I'll think of more, and I'll see you in September. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken Kreisman? Did I pronounce that correctly, Ken? Well, if it's Kramer, it's...
That is Kramer.
K-R-A-C-M-I-N, it looks like. But, Mr. Kramer, please.
Well, we'll start with my name. I'm Ken Kramer. I'm the Executive Director of Building Advantage. I represent nearly 20,000 union construction workers and over 600 union contractors. If you can imagine, right now in Milwaukee County, there's quite a bit of construction work going on. We have over $1 billion worth of work going currently, and one of the major projects is $450 million with Northwestern Mutual. 18 months ago, I sat down with Northwestern Mutual, and when you see Sandy put her glasses down the first time, you can be intimidated. I'm here to tell you that I'm very, very pleased to work with Northwestern Mutual. I'm in full support of selling Northwestern Mutual O'Donnell parking structure. Every time we came into a problem, there's been a solution, and Northwestern Mutual has helped us reach that solution. I cannot tell you that how many people that I deal with on developments, construction projects, they cannot always go as well as it is going with Northwestern Mutual at this time. If a 150-year track record is not good enough for us, I don't know what more we need. If I could do every project with Northwestern Mutual, my life would be a lot easier. So I'm here to tell you that, representing the 20,000 union construction workers and the 600 union contractors, we are in full support of selling the O'Donnell parking structure to Northwestern Mutual. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And now I'd like to go to the one neutral party who registered for information only, Ms. Sherry Briscoe, who is representing the Milwaukee County Advisory Parks Commission. She is chair of that commission.
Good morning, Mr. Broderick, Supervisor Broderick, and committee members. I thought I would just mention that the Parks Advisory Commission has put together a mission statement. And that statement is that we, which were created by the county board, to advise the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors and Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture staff in their efforts to uphold the high standards of Milwaukee County Parks. Our vision is that we were created by the Milwaukee County Board to function as a voice of citizens on issues pertaining to Milwaukee County Parks. It is the Commission's responsibility to bring forward bold initiatives, to encourage leadership, and to be the first line of ideas for our county parks. Our guiding principles: we are here to ensure preservation of and public access to all county park facilities. We are here to advise the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture on diversifying resources through grants, sponsorship, partnership, and volunteer development. We are here to advise, to advocate for ideas that will protect the resources we have and will enhance the future state of our parks. And this is why I'm here, because we will be meeting tomorrow night. We will be discussing mostly what the cultural and entertainment capital needs task force has been studying. We will be setting our next meeting in early August, and we will be inviting both people who have presented information for and people who have presented information against the sale of the parks. And we will be meeting in the evening at 7 o'clock at a public place, so the people who are working this morning will have an opportunity to weigh in on this very, very important decision. It is a decision that could affect future decisions for years and years. And on that basis, we believe that the public needs to have an opportunity to speak.
So, thank you very much, and thanks for your service. Registered against David Marcus, representing the Betty Brin.
Registered for.
Children use. Oh, I'm sorry, registered for. Right, gotcha.
I'm not prepared to change my statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. I appreciate the time today. My name is David Marcus. In addition to operating a number of businesses throughout the county, I'm also the acting board president of the Betty Brin Children's Museum. So I kind of have a unique perspective. I live in the house. We reside there, and we live and breathe daily what the maintenance issues are of that garage. It's been something we've had to deal with throughout time. I would encourage anybody else to step up with $58 million, which I think is unlikely, to invest in the property, because I see the county working as hard as they can with a limited amount of resources to try and fight fires, and they are doing a great job. But it's hard. As I said, I have another unique perspective. I was the tenant at 100 East Wisconsin, and until about a year and a half ago, Northwestern Mutual was the owner of that property. And I watched on a daily basis. It was a Class A office building, And they went above and beyond as a real estate owner, not just to squeeze every dollar out, but I watched them in their maintenance on a daily basis work very hard to be proactive, not just fight fires. And to me, O'Donnell is the opportunity to add that proactive element back in. The green space on top of the garage is very important to the museum. And right now, it's not activated the way it could be. We watch. We want to see it activated. And it's something under its current structure we found that is not happening. And we believe that Northwestern Mutual's interest in this property, and we have a lot to gain or lose by who our landlord is not to find a way to develop on the property big buildings. I think they have a lot more to gain by creating an environment for their workforce and for the city that is second to none. This is their only home. And I believe in the things they are saying, and I heard people talk about maybe another time will come when another corporate citizen with a track record will come and be interested in buying parkland. I hope there aren't many with garages on them like this. But I find it hard to believe in watching the process that this would be taken lightly and that any corporate citizen, even one with 155 years, would just be granted the opportunity to do something without a lot of thought. And so I commend you on analyzing this, and I would recommend that you support this sale.
Let me ask this.
Yeah.
Were there to be a 100-year lease, do you see any reason why that would be inhibiting from Northwestern's point of view?
It's really hard for me to comment on Northwestern's position on that. They want to invest millions and millions of dollars. I know I sit on the Gateway Committee, the Lakefront Gateway Committee, and we're currently working to find creative ways to bring private companies and enterprises in to help support energizing that area. And so to me, I would want, as I heard earlier, 10 more Northwesterns to take ownership over a specific piece of property with this much restriction on it. And I find it hard to believe that they would have any success in the future given the passion that exists for keeping this parkland. And I support that initiative. I think it's really hard for me to comment on that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you much for the comments you did make. John Lunds?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. I'm glad Supervisor Alexander just returned because I would like to address some of her issues. First of all, on the issue of labels, I dislike labels very much, but in the interest of full disclosure, I'm a tree-hugging conservative Republican who votes independently. That aside, I also want to take note of, or I did take note, of what I think is pretty ironic, and that's item number 6 on this agenda and item number 7, which immediately followed. You have just finished. Supervisor Borkowski is now checking to see what item 6 was. You just rightfully honored Donna Schleiman's memory by the action you took today. I can only imagine her reaction to item 7 on the same agenda. She's got to be doing cartwheels in her grave right now. Back to some of the other questions that were raised here. What would I support in lieu of an outright sale of a public park? I would eagerly agree to a lease to Northwestern Mutual of the parking spaces they need for the life of the garage. No longer than that, if they deem that they don't need to lease anymore, they're free to walk out of it. But I believe that public ownership must be maintained of our parks. Ms. Kern earlier talked about the slippery slope. Here we're talking about a park. Now, when our administration talks about it, they emphasize garage, not county park. They emphasize the term the garage. It's much more than that, as we're coming to find out. It's the Coast Restaurant, the Betty Byrne Museum, and the Miller Room, all that, and the public plaza up above that's lined with bricks that were purchased by the public as memorials or for whatever reason. So I think that also it does open the door to further park sales. Now, if you consider the restrictions that we believe that are placed on it, not only the deed restrictions but also the public trust issues, there are so many parks that don't have any of those restrictions, and I'm sure developers would be eager to put high-rises on some of our county parks because nobody wants to redevelop the inner city. They want to redevelop flat, open land. It's so much easier to dig a hole than to do the right thing like Northwestern Mutual did in very ecologically, sustainably removing a building, creating a hole, and reusing a lot of materials to put up another one. Most developers won't even think of doing that. They always look for an open space to plop something on, and we do have control, or you have control, of the only remaining open space in the county through our county parks. So how are we going to pay for it? What's the alternative? Well, the public spoke loud and clear when they passed a referendum okaying a sales tax. We've had our administration go to Madison to get legislation saying the shoreline never did come in here. It only went up to the east side of Lincoln Memorial Drive, not the west side. That, in effect, is what they're saying by creating a state law to say that. If they would spend half the energy going to Madison and urging our representatives in Madison and our state government to implement the sales tax that we've authorized, we would have sufficient funding for parks, public safety, and transit. So I would urge you all to keep O'Donnell Park as owned by our citizens for all future generations, and spend a little more time, if you can, urging our administration to revisit the sales tax initiative and trying to urge their friends in Madison to take that route. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Sinski. Registered in favor?
Favor, yes. Thank you, supervisors, for taking up this issue and for taking the public input. I'm representing myself my perspective is from three views. I'm a neighbor. I work at Robert W. Baird. I overlook the site. I park in O'Donnell, have for years, and I'm a county resident and a voter. Excuse me. So from working nearby, I have the huge benefit of overseeing the site. I look east every day, 5-6 days a week. I see the activity or lack thereof on that great site. So I would look forward to the improvements that Northwestern Mutual would make to the park portion itself. As a parker, I see every day the deferred maintenance and capital that the county really can't afford to do but needs to be done. So I look forward to Northwestern Mutual's investment in the parking portion of the site. And then thirdly, as a resident and voter, and I'm the real estate director at Baird, so I pore over operating and capital pro formas. You know, I understand that this is an extremely fiscally responsible move by the county to maintain it as a park. I'm very comfortable with Northwestern Mutual as the owner. As everybody's pointed out, their track record's phenomenal. I have comfort that the deed restriction is enough to maintain it as a park, and I have faith that this isn't a slippery slope, that current supervisors and future ones don't see this as a path on all other parks, and this is a pretty unique situation. So, again, thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Sinski. Kathleen Beaver, registered against. Did you want to speak? She's registered against, I just noted. And, not requesting to speak. In that case, we'll move to Russ Konetzker if he chooses. Mr. Konetzker. Registered against.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Russell Konetzker. I'm a resident of the village of Shorewood. I am an urban planner, and I teach that part-time at UWM. I am partial owner of NML because I have many policies with them and investment instruments. Fine company. Fortune magazine regularly ranks them as the single best insurance company in the United States. I'm here today on behalf of Preserve Our Parks. Did you find this in your mailbox yesterday afternoon or this morning? This is the statement we gave yesterday to the Economics Committee. We do not oppose the management of this facility by Northwestern Mutual. That's not the issue. It's ownership. If you can work out a lease agreement with Northwestern Mutual, everything else evaporates. One of the key things that evaporates is this whole issue of the lake bed. That's going to be settled in court. And it's not going to be quickly settled in court. That could go on with appeals for several years. That evaporates. If you just lease it to them, you maintain ownership. The issue of the lake bed goes away. The other feature of Milwaukee County is you probably now have the most experience of any government I can think of in this area with leasing. You've got Bartolotta in the restaurant at Lake Park. You've leased out the north end of Bradford Beach for volleyball recreation. You've got Bartolotta back in the restaurant south of that. You've got the sailing club on the lakefront. You've got the yacht club on the lakefront. You have a great amount of experience, and to the best of my knowledge, you're not unhappy with that experience. You're not afraid to look into the question of a lease with Northwestern Mutual. And that's what I'm here to encourage you to do. Does anybody need an extra copy?
Thank you very much. Brian McCambridge, representing the iron workers. Local 8, is that number 8?
It is Local 8.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and supervisors. I'm here on behalf of Local 8 iron workers and members with the building trades in Milwaukee. I would like to say a few words on this O'Donnell parking structure and the people that oppose it with the park. I do think that Northwest Mutual has a very good interest in making Milwaukee a safer place for people to come to live. Definitely, it's a benefit for Milwaukee to see these improvements in the city. Because it does draw people. Obviously, I'm wearing this vest because of Milwaukee is under construction, and there's a lot of money being brought into this state with our roads, and these roads lead us to Milwaukee. And let the people stop here in Milwaukee and see improvements that we need. With what Northwestern Mutual wants to do is they want to enhance this parking structure, and they also want to enhance the park. I mean, this is good for everybody's interest here, and I think we need to take a really good look at everybody's interest and don't put anybody in a back burner here. Let's do what's best for Milwaukee and the citizens that live here and the people that want to come here to visit and spend money. It's a win-win for everybody, and I think you, Mr. Chairman, and the supervisors, do take a close look at this. And do make the right decision, because your decision here will definitely affect 100 years down the road. As that picture shows, we need change for the better. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. The remainder of the cards are people wishing to register but not speak. We have a number of cards on both sides of that issue, but I would ask now if anyone else would choose to speak for or against prior to our moving on. No takers. Okay. Well, we've had, I think, a healthy debate and public airing, the first of what will probably be many such hearings. My responsibility and that of the members of this board is to make sure that the public is heard clearly and on as many occasions as necessary. Mr. Gooley, you have a question.
Yes, last week or week before, there was a release from the county board chair that there would be public hearings. Was she referring to these public hearings, or will there be an evening public hearing that people that
I have not had the opportunity to discuss that with her. I read the same release that you did. However, I can't imagine this going on without the Lakefront Development Advisory Commission hearing this matter, because it's very much part of their jurisdiction. So that certainly would be one opportunity for a hearing, but there may well be other requests, and we'll honor those as best we're able, trying not to replicate the opportunities unnecessarily, but we want to make sure everyone is heard. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a timeline for when this decision needs to be?
Well, I heard earlier Mr. Whaley Smith talk about an action item in September, and my view is that that is moving very quickly and probably much too quickly to accommodate the very public opinion that I'm hoping we can accommodate. So we'll see, but it's going to be up to the individual chairs of the committees as to whether or not to schedule those as action items. So we will see where we go, but I can assure you from my point of view, September is far too soon to accommodate a very complex process that Mr. Whaley Smith and Ms. Botcher talked about. There is complexity to this, and I think we need time for perhaps all parties to think through the public comment and see if there isn't a way to accommodate an agreement. Mr. Knetzger suggests a long-term lease. That would lessen many of the concerns that I have, without question, and I think a number of other members of the board. So if Northwestern wants to take an uncompromising view, and that's what, to my mind, it's been thus far, that we will only do this based on a sale, then I think for a lot of us it's a non-starter. If, in fact, they're willing to be open to a compromise that would still permit them to accomplish their ends, I think we'd be willing to move ahead and listen carefully to what's being proposed. No one else wants to be heard on this? In that case, we're going to move on to item number 8.